At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
All right, here we go. Pac-12 fans, this one's for you.
Put your hands up, man!
This is the Pac-12 Apostles.
Keeping it real.
And only the truth lives here. Pac-12 Apostles. Apostles.
I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amston. This is the Pac-12 Apostles, the podcast by Pac-12 fans for Pac-12 fans and college football fans all around, where you get the absolute truth. We keep it 100 with you at all times. First thing is, remember to leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review. Leave a review, because obviously we always love reading the reviews. But we will start today, though. We will start today with a recap of what happened last week, because we take accountability. We talk about who did the best. What was the outcome of last week?
The outcome of last week was, you went 5-6 and I went 6-5, but there was one point when I was like 4-4 and you only had picked 2 right.
Wait, hold up. How is that possible when we only picked 3 games alike? So how could I go 6-5? I mean, 5-6 and you go 6-5.
Like the ones I got right, you got wrong. The ones you got right, I got wrong. There was enough of those.
Oh, I see, but what
there
you're
was
saying.
There was one point in the day where you were like on a like all-time cold streak. It was like you were like 1-5 at one point, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so bad. And then you finished pretty strong. We did get a review if you want me to read it. It's okay. Terrible. this is a 2-star review.
What?
Yeah. And it has to do with your language, believe it or not. Foul language and lacking show prep. I've loved listening to Ralph's insights for years. I miss his extemporaneous rants as he returned from away games. I used to drive to ASU road games, and on the drive home, I would record Stream of Consciousness podcast. Up until recently, I never had any concern listening to Ralph in any show he appeared on, and would be able to listen in the truck with my kids and get them excited about the game of football. Now, Reister's desire is to be real edgy and drop the F-bomb. Lets me know he doesn't care about followers or the audience. Specifically, I think he's referring to your take on USC leaving the
Oh. Okay.
And its effect on your back-to-pack stance. He says that that's totally unprofessional. And yeah, so he is upset. So that's a 2-star review, which brings us down to a 4.4 out of 5. We haven't had many 2-star reviews, so that's kind of I don't know if we can earn that one back. If you sing a lullaby or do something kid friendly, maybe
we'll. Unprofessional. Wow, that's a big word. Anyways, I mean, you know, listen, we appreciate the review anyway. Thank you. You know, even. Yeah. So anyways. All right. So let's go over the games from last week. So we had. So Southern Utah and Utah. Now, where do we set this line at, Ralph?
40.5. And I think we both thought. No,
it was 50.
Thought that it would be close.
50. No. Okay. No, bro. You said.
You picked Southern Utah.
No, I didn't. I picked Utah.
Yes, you absolutely.
No, I picked Utah. You picked Southern Utah.
You picked Southern Utah. You picked Southern Utah. I said, are you nuts? I feel bad. I said, I know players on Southern Utah's team, and I feel very bad for what's about to happen to them.
Yes. And Utah. Whoa. The
first game.
No, we set the line at 50 points. We set the line at 50 points, and I took the over.
You took Southern Utah.
Absolutely not. I'm going back to listen to the tape. Have you seen that commercial where people go back and listen to the tape?
Oh, yeah. No, yes. We're in that moment right now.
Yes.
For sure.
Okay, so now we have a dispute. So Southern Utah, there was nothing to be gained from that game. They won by 110 billion.
Hey, Southern Utah did get screwed over by the refs 5 seconds into the game, though. And I do think that deserves just a little bit of conversation. I don't know if you saw this.
That, but dude, it was 7-0 within like 4 seconds.
So Southern Utah kicked off. They onside kicked the opening kickoff and got it. In fact, it was a former Arizona High School football quarterback, Rand Jensen, who was actually playing on kickoff team, that picked up the ball. The refs ruled that it had not gone 10 yards. It absolutely had. The refs ruled that it had not gone 10 yards, and guess what? There was no way to overturn the call because it was on Pac-12 Network, which means the only camera focused on the play was, like, stationed on the moon. And they're like, so not that Southern Utah ever would have had a chance. It was 7-7 at one point, which, by the way, Utah has yet to give up any passing touchdowns, only quarterback rushing touchdowns. And shout out to Anthony Richardson, who lost to Kentucky this last week and his Heisman campaign ended. But other than that, it was just nothing Southern Utah could do. Definitely not blaming the opening onside kick and Pac-12 Network's camera.
That did it.
But what's nice though is when it's a game on Pac-12 Network where a Pac-12 team isn't the one getting screwed by the lack of technological advancements because you're playing out of conference games. When it's two Pac-12 teams and something like that happens, then like there's no choice but to be angry because our conference has terrible broadcasts on a seldom watched network.
Yep. All right, next game up. This is another I told you so game after we fixed the other one. So Colorado at Air Force. This was a 21-point spread?
It was 17, and I believe I said something along the lines of, like, everything in me thinks that you're right and thinks the Air Force is going to win, but the idea of taking a Mountain West team in the same state over a Pac-12 team and giving them 17 points is not something I could do. And then I said that I would put the most money on that particular bet. So that was a massive, massive L for me. And on Unafraid Show, that was the one where I risked the most pretend money and took a huge L. Ooh. On that. And it was at one point, it looked like Colorado was going to come back, but JT Schrout fumbled the snap on the second place play of the game and then put on gloves like he was Kurt Warner. And it was
that
just
didn't help.
It was embarrassing. They had a chance to draw it within a touchdown. I think this was in the second half, and they fumbled. on what was probably a touchdown, but it didn't get overruled, but it looked like the ball had crossed the goal line. They gave the ball to Air Force. Air Force marched down, and instead of Colorado being down 7, they were down 21, and it was just it was brutal.
Oh yeah, dude.
I was genuinely shocked.
Did you see the final?
Still had a job.
Did you see the final stats for JT Shrout?
No.
5 for 21 for 51 yards and an interception. And Air Force, 1 for 5 for 8 yards. Dude, there is no way in hell I'm letting anybody throw 5 passes and beat me. There's no way. I'm not doing it. But then the other part is, didn't we talk about the fact that it didn't matter whether Lewis was the quarterback, JT Shrout, whoever, that this team's offensive coordinating is terrible. Carl Durrell made a bad hire, and that's going to get him fired. It stinks, but that's the truth. Like, I was rooting for Carl Durrell's success, and I still would like him to be successful. But it feels like the writing is on the wall that this is inevitable.
Yeah, and you had a lot of blame placed at the previous offensive coordinator's feet, and I never really
162 yards total yards in this game. Air Force is not Georgia. Like, that's a damn shame. Yeah, this team is by far the worst team in the Pac-12. It's not even close.
All right. Yeah, and their schedule does not get it's not like they got a bunch of cupcakes coming up. It's going to be a tough road.
Yep. Next game up. Surprise, surprise. You had the Washington State Cougars beat Wisconsin, the ranked Wisconsin, 17-14. Who picked on that game? Or did you get that one wrong too?
I actually got this one right. You got it wrong.
Yes, yes.
So I don't know why you keep throwing it out there. Like, no, I'm not.
I do remember that one. Yeah, so I thought Wisconsin was going to drown Washington State. But Wisconsin's quarterback situation with Mertz is not where it needs to be right now. Not. And Washington State with Cameron at quarterback – he was just good, dude. Like, he was finding a way to make plays when it mattered the most.
Yeah, I think that the trust in him is paying off. I'm not sure that there's anybody that's been given the leash that Cameron Ward has been given, and I think that he can throw an interception. And there's no risk of him getting pulled. He cannot make the right read. There's no. They want him to figure it out, and I think that is super helpful. Would you say that Washington State won this game, or that Wisconsin lost this game? Because I watched this game from start to finish, but I was really paying attention.
That fumble
in that second half.
Yeah, that fumble.
And it was like Wisconsin
was
kept
bad.
Marching down, and then I don't know it. Wisconsin felt like the better team, but it just felt like there was, you know, in basketball, sometimes when it feels like there's like an invisible film over the rim.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how, like, that. As soon as they would get to like the 30 yard line, everything would just fall apart. Whoa. And the energy for Washington State on defense was phenomenal.
Yes. Yes. But Washington State's offense was not that great. They didn't run the ball well.
No.
Yeah. They were under 300 yards of total offense. It wasn't pretty. But they found a way to win. I still don't think that this team is super good, because at quarterback, Cameron's struggled, you know, being accurate as he needs to be. But they were if you get them in a close game, they find a way to they found a way to make some plays when it mattered the most.
I agree. And to hold Wisconsin's primary running back under 100 yards rushing. How often does that happen? Braylon Allen, he's very talented. He's gonna find his way. But his longest rush on the day was 17 yards.
Yep.
17 yards. That means he had 20 carries for 81 yards outside of that one rush. That is a if this is how Washington State's defense is going to be playing, they're going to be in a lot of close games.
Yeah, but the other thing is that the other part is that yes, that is true, but they're going to play some better offenses in the Pac-12, which are going to be able to score the ball without turning the ball over. So
that's true, but I'd rather be 2-0 while I'm still trying to figure out I'm all about. Anything else.
Big facts. All right, UNLV at Cal. Cal 20, UNLV 14. Now,
this one you got right and I got wrong.
They're starting to – I'm sensing a theme.
Okay.
And Cal started out hot, dude. They got scored 17 points in the first half. It was 17-7. And you were like, okay, cool. It started out 14-0. You're like, okay, I like it. I like it, Cal. And then UNLV made some adjustments on defense, and they couldn't move the ball worth a damn.
Yeah, no touchdowns for Cal after the first quarter. None. And that they were starting to actually get past Cal's offensive line and harass Jack Plummer a little bit. You could look at Jack Plummer's stats, 28-39, but he was checking down a whole bunch. I think outside of one 37-yard Jeremiah Hunter catch, you know, you're looking at probably like average per completion was like 6 or 7 yards. And so they picked and chose their spots and they did enough to win, but it was a little bit scary there at the end. UNLV had the ball down 6 late in the fourth with an opportunity to win the game. And they just, you know, they didn't pull it out, but that was there was a second there where I was like, wow, is Cal really going to blow this?
Yeah,
they didn't. And I guess you give them credit for that. But that was the last drive of the game. I think UNLV, I think, might have thrown an interception to ultimately lose. But I was worried for a second. I was like, wow, Cal's really going to lose at home to UNLV. And that would have been disastrous for the conference. But, you know, they get a win, they get to move on. They're also 2-0, I believe. And so, you know, and they didn't look bad. They just looked super uninspired after the first quarter.
Yep. All right. Portland State at Washington. This is another game I got right. 52-6.
No.
What
Neither
you
one of us got this right.
What are you talking
Neither
about?
Neither one of us got this. We both went Portland State. This is one of the ones.
What was the line?
Like 40 or something like that. Either way, we both said Portland State. You are a legend in your own mind today.
Oh, my God, bro. I'm sitting here looking at the games. I'm like, bro, I'm good. I'm Gucci around here. Bro, this is crazy. But anyways, Kalen DeBoer has the team playing well. They are doing well against bad teams, which is exactly what you are supposed to do. Like, you play good versus teams that stink. That's how you win.
Yeah, for the last 2 years, we've been talking about, can one running back on this team just break a 20-yard run? They had two. Wayne Talapapa had 12 carries for 94 yards. Cameron Davis had 10 for 70. Richard Newton had 10 for 59. And Michael Penix Jr. threw for almost 340 yards. And so, like, this is what you're supposed to look like. This is what Washington was supposed to look like for the last couple of years. And it just – something wasn't firing. Something wasn't right there. And then they also took care of business on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I would love to get back to the days where big sky teams are of no threat or consequence whatsoever
you
to
just
any Pac-12 team.
Eschew them. You're like, thanks for coming. Take your $1 million. Go on your way.
Exactly. We don't want to be like these teams that played Sun Belt teams and paid them to come beat us.
Paid them to get in that behind. Hey, that is wild. On another note, about the review though, you've been doing shows with me for years. Do I feel more
in your head?
do I feel more edgy than I used to be?
No.
No. That's exactly it. It was like, oh, he feels the need to be edgy. I was like, nothing has changed.
Yeah, it's not the you returned the energy that USC put out to the conference.
Exactly. So
don't worry about it. I'm not worried. I would say that if you are listening to this college football podcast with your children in the car,
maybe you're generally safe. You're generally safe.
Yeah, you leave a 2-star review for USC Athletics for going to the Big Ten. That's
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Don't blame the guy.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Anyways, UCLA versus Alabama State, 45-7. Who won this game, allegedly, Ralph?
Well, I got this one, but the whole thing about it was because 50 was insane.
This was
the 50.5 spread, and UCLA had the ball plenty of times.
Yep.
With the opportunity to actually overtake the spread in this, and they just didn't do it. But it came really, really close. I had a hard time with 50.5. You thought it was going to happen, and I think it teetered right there at like, what was the final score? 45-7 or something like that. 42. Yeah. So it was close. It was close, but this is another one of those games where, what do you do when every time do you want to do what Utah did? You want to just keep going, shoot for 80 or whatever. So I think, I don't know. This is what you would have expected. This is what you would have hoped for. If you're a UCLA fan, you know, the few of you that are left out there that actually go to the games, this was you could have gone somewhere and done something else mid-second quarter, avoided the traffic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And people are going to be looking at UCLA some kind of way for the fan numbers. Bro, it was actually on Saturday. It had been raining all night on Friday. So they went from what was an inferno the week before to a rain game versus Alabama State. Yeah, absolutely not, bro. Absolutely
not. The announced attendance for this game was almost 34,000.
Okay, so it went up. It went up from 27,000.
The announced attendance. Yeah, people had tickets, but as far as the actual number of people that showed up, the one thing in this game that stood out to me that I did enjoy was the opportunity to see Ethan Garbers play some football. So he got meaningful-ish snaps. He went 14 of 18, 164 yards, and an interception. So, you know, that was kind of cool because I think he's the future. He rushed for a couple of touchdowns. That might make him not feel like leaving. Yeah, at the end of the year, that might really make him feel like he's up
listen,
next,
bro.
You know,
yeah, I don't know. They like the young kid that they just got out of Inglewood High School, who's redshirting this year. So we'll see, buddy. Ethan could.
Well, I wouldn't mind having him. So I'm a big Ethan Garbers fan. He's one of those guys that statistically in high school, kind of like Jaden Daniels, who like rewrote the record books, and you're just hoping to see some glimpses of that at the college level.
Yep. Arizona State at Oklahoma State. This game, I know I won this game.
Yeah, we were both on the same sides of this. It went about the way that we thought. So this is my question for you. In this game, it was 17-10.
Yep.
Arizona State was driving to end the second half. They had a 4th and 6 from Oklahoma State 30. They elected to kick a field goal with a kicker who's really struggled beyond. He's been good. He won the job late, Carter Brown, over Jay Feely's kid, Jace Feely. Won the job late, kicked 4 field goals last week, but the deep field goals have looked pretty rough in practice. So they have him line up for a 48-yard field goal. He misses, and instead of possibly going for it to tie the game, they play Herm ball. They get conservative. They miss the field goal. And then from that point on, ASU was never really in it after that. They had one drive where they scored a touchdown. Oklahoma State didn't look like world beaters, but I think the main gripe of Arizona State fans in this game was just that it was very boring, that you never felt in it after that happened.
Like there was no life in the game, dude. It was an emotionless wreck. It was like reading, like an actor reading words off of a page.
Yeah. I struggle with the idea that you have Emory Jones at quarterback and you don't just put him out on design. Like you don't think the defense has to respect
him. He only had 7 rushes and pretty much all of them were like scrambles.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The way that I look at it is if you're going to have him back there, you got to make use of him.
Correct.
The defense was fine. Kyle Soley looked great. Oklahoma State looks good.
Hey, they may have a whole nother situation going on because who you thought Arizona State's best linebacker was going to be is not their best linebacker right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it's not Merlin Robertson. Like he had a good freshman year, but it's like no one was scheming for him, and they were basically sending him on blitzes. And I think that set unfair expectations for the rest of his career. Kyle Soley's a guy who's put in the work, and I think this is his 5th year there. And it makes sense to me. He led the team in tackles last year. The one thing in this game that I also stood out to me was Oklahoma State had an offensive lineman that messed up twice, had 2 different penalties called on him, and they yanked him. And I was like, man, that's got to be how Arizona State's got to be going about this because Arizona State had another game with 10 penalties. And they looked super undisciplined and chippy the entire time. And there doesn't seem to ever be any consequence for players losing their composure or getting off script. And
10 penalties for 95 yards. Facts.
Yeah, not helpful.
Now, Valladay had a good game. 21 rushes for 118 yards. He did have a long of 42, so it wasn't like a ton of energy after that. But overall.
Yeah, that was like the first run of the game.
Yeah. Saw some good things out of Elijah Badger, but this Oklahoma State team, it's weird because they're not excellent, but they're damn sure not bad. Like they are in this weird gray area of like they could lose to a lot of teams, but they'll beat most teams, but they can't beat the elite teams.
Yeah. Like they can't even hang with the elite teams.
Like they have a massive, I think they're like a 12 to 15. Yeah, they're like a 12 to 15 ranked team to me.
Yeah, they did lose a lot of talented players off last year's team. They got a massive O-line, and I think they're well coached. And their quarterback will have some good days.
I'm a man. I'm 40. Great...
Yeah, yeah. They did. They did on the broadcast. They played the I'm 40 rant back to back with the you play to win the game.
Yep. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was cool.
All right, USC and Stanford, 41-28. Who won this game?
I did. You almost did because of the amount of times that Stanford, you know, pissed away an opportunity to score.
Yeah, because this is only an 8.5 point spread. So
yeah, it ended at 9.5. And you said you were really comfortable at 8.5, and you were almost right. You were almost right, but Stanford wasn't really doing anything with the yards they were gaining.
USC fans were watching this game, and I don't understand what game they were watching. I do not know what game they were watching because they were like, "Oh my God, this team could be the best in the nation." I was like, "Are you watching Stanford drive up and down the field?" Dude, they actually got an interception on that jump ball that they throw, which never, ever, ever happens. Ever, ever, ever. I think it's since I've been watching Stanford football, since like 2003 when they started doing it, only one other time have I seen that an interception be the result of that jump ball play that they throw. Only one other time. And it wasn't even like what happened. The kid tipped it and then he caught it himself. It was incredible. And they also got another fumble inside the 10. And they got another turnover inside the red zone. Dude, and that was in the first half. But Stanford was marching up and down the field. They were running the hell out of the football. So I'm like, yes, USC's offense looked incredible in the first half. Incredible. Stanford could not stop a nosebleed. But you cannot tell me that you're okay with this defense. This is not a winning defense. If your offense gets stopped at all, you have a problem.
Right. They are who we thought they were game, right? This is exactly who we said USC was going to be going into the season. They're going to be able to move the ball, but can they stop anybody from running it? And they gave up 221 yards on the ground, and I think USC won the turnover battle 4-0 and only won by 13.
Yeah. There's something
so this
weird
is, this
about
is
that.
Exactly. And those, yeah.
And three of them were in the red zone. Two of them inside the 10.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, though, the new guys, Caleb Williams, Travis Dye, Jordan Addison, if they all three play like stars, you're not going to shut this team out ever. They're going to score. It's a matter of whether or not their defense is going to be able to do anything about it. Capitalizing and creating turnovers can be the key to having a very successful season. But if you run into a team that takes care of the ball,
you're going to have a problem, a major problem.
Yeah. If this wasn't a 4-0 turnover advantage for USC, I don't think they win.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for everybody, and I've heard a lot of praise in the last couple of days. I've heard a lot of praise saying, I don't see anybody beating this USC team in the Pac-12. But, like, you get a team that protects the ball, and
you get against Utah, and you
a chance.
Yes, and then because Utah is good enough to actually get some stops too, yeah, you're gonna find yourself in one of them Lincoln Riley specials, buddy. But obviously,
yeah,
this is a team that is headed for 9-10 wins easy
probably and just with the efficiency
and the Notre Dame game looks much more winnable now because they lost their quarterback and they're 0-2 now, so that things got a lot more, the path has been cleared a little bit more for this team. All right, we have Eastern Washington and Oregon. Now, I know I won this game, and I know you lost this game.
Yes, sir.
Yes, 70-14.
That's exactly what happened.
70-14. This felt it was weird. How do you think I feel about this game?
I don't know. I mean, Bo Nix had the same number of incompletions as he did touchdown passes. He's 28 to 33, 5 touchdowns. That maybe delays some of the anxiety. I did hear that they cheered Ty Thompson.
Yes, they did. They cheered him.
5 touchdowns.
Like, do you cheer the guy who comes in after? So after he threw 5 touchdowns, here's the thing. Oregon's backfield is the best backfield I've seen in, I cannot remember how long. Like, this backfield, Irving is good. Dollars is good. Cardwell is good. Whittington is good. Bro, 7 month McGee's going to get some carry. Like, this is a really good backfield. Like, some dynamic guys who can make people miss. And the good thing was, is that the defense, they did not allow, like, they barely allowed anything. This was a dominating performance. They tackled well, because I've seen games where Oregon played lesser competition than other people do. And dudes are squirting away. They're making plays. Mm-mm. They didn't just give up stuff. They looked like that they were embarrassed the week before, which I thought was very important for them going for it. Like, they needed to look like they got their ass kicked in week one and they weren't happy about it. So, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot to be gained in that game. Oregon's
But Eastern Washington, they did throw for like 400 yards a week before, and they threw for less than 100 in this game, and that is super encouraging after you watched what happened when the dam broke against Georgia. That was very big, and also the tempo Oregon played with was phenomenal. They ran so many plays in this game. You want to talk about, like, the Texas A&M getting upset by Appalachian State because they only ran 38 plays. Like, Oregon ran more passing plays than that and ran the ball 48 times.
Yeah,
that's what you want to see, is just quickness, just running tempo.
Facts. Yep. Oregon State 35, Fresno State 32. A Jake Haener special. Jake Haener threw the ball all over the place, as we expected, 30 for 46. Chance Nolan was about 50, a hair over 50% completions. Oregon State didn't run the ball great. They ran it okay. But Jonathan Smith came with the grand cojones to win the game. On the last play with the Wildcat with your boy, Jay Coletto, the quarterback turned Mike Allstott turned, dude, his hero has to be, what's his name down with the Saints? Taysom Hill.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's his comp. If you go to the draft. So, yeah. He's like,
yeah.
I'm Taysom Hill. I'll do anything. I'll play personal protector. Well, I can play quarterback in an emergency. I'll wildcat you. You know, like, he's actually creating a position in football for guys like this.
I love it. It's so much fun. As an Arizona Cardinals fan, I just watched Justin Reed play kicker.
Dude, he's a hell of a kicker, bro.
Yeah, he's really good. So I love the idea of this, like, you can do more than one thing on the
field. He kicked it through the damn uprights before.
You know what I like about this decision from Oregon State is that I don't think, regardless of the result, whether Jack Coletto gets in on that or not, I don't think anybody affiliated with Oregon State thought that was the wrong call.
Correct.
You got to ride with your guy. You got to ride with your short yardage specialist. It was his second touchdown of the day. You got to have that attitude that, you know, Fresno State can't stop us. You don't want to give them the opportunity to get the ball back, which is, I mean, you know, you don't want to go into overtime against Jake Haener. It's like a healthy fear of Jake Haener and a healthy belief in your guys. And I think we're down to the point where we only have to deal with Jake Haener one more time.
Yeah.
In this conference. And then it is good riddance forever.
Okay. So this Oregon State team, though, they got through their first two tests. They are 2-0. They're going to be 3-0 after this week, after they play Montana State. This team is headed for a bowl game. They got through, like, them getting through the preseason or the non-conference unscathed was the key to them being was the key to them actually going to a bowl game. So good on them. Yeah. All right, Mississippi State last game 39, Arizona 17. I know I lost this game.
You did.
Damn. And in watching this game, there was a pick early that got called back because Jaden Delora ended up with three credited picks, even though he threw one earlier that got called. No. It didn't get. I was like, what the hell are you doing? The one where he scrambled out to the left and then threw it up. I was like, no, don't.
He had the ball for like a full 15 seconds before throwing it down the field. That one.
Yes. I was like, oh my God, bro. Like, why would you do that? Why would you do that?
That's him, though. That's him. Like, that's this is the Jaden Delora experience. You had an SEC team come into Tucson, and Arizona made it interesting for a minute. But I told you this team is not where they need to be talent wise yet.
I know they're not, but I expected them to be able to compete a little bit better.
And they did. They did.
I mean, it was 18-10 at halftime. Yeah, it was 18-10 at halftime.
Throwing three interceptions, Jaden Delora throwing three interceptions, but completing 23 passes. Like, that's the trade-off. You had him. You had a situation at quarterback the last couple of years where you would have been happy to complete 23 passes over two game period. Like, he is gonna try to do too much. In games where he's not under duress, in games where you can actually control the tempo, he's going to do some really positive things for you. However, if you're in a situation where you get down and their running game is super bottled up, like, you have to understand that without a 34 yard run from Wiley, they would have rushed for 6 yards on the day after the adjusted for the sacks that Delora took.
Yeah.
Six yards on the day if you take away one third. So they're not able to run the ball. Everything is dependent upon that passing game, and Delora did what he could. And then I told you those Arizona defensive backs, they weren't going to stop anybody. And so this game was better, I think, than the final result.
Yes.
Lent itself to be. And I'm not as frustrated with Delora in that. I just think that he was really trying to get him back in the game. And he put way too much on his own shoulders.
Yep.
And he made some ill-advised throws downfield, but he was trying to make something happen. So that nothing about this game has me concerned or worried in any way.
No. Arizona they are who this we is, thought they are. They're a four-win team, probably three, four-win team.
And with maybe a chance to be a little bit better, to hang in some of these games a little bit better, but it can't be all on your quarterback trying to make things happen himself. You can't get down early, and you can't not be able to run the ball. That's their biggest thing. If they get bottled up by any of these other Pac-12 teams and they're fully dependent on throwing, it's going to be the same result.
Yep.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
All right. So now we will, well, actually, recap first. So how would you grade this weekend, well, this past weekend for the Pac-12? Because obviously there was an inter-squad game between USC and Stanford. Arizona, so Arizona lost, Colorado lost, and Arizona lost. So two of the worst teams in the conference won. Actually, probably the two worst teams in the conference, and then probably the fourth or fifth worst team in the conference lost. Everybody else won.
Yeah, I give it a C+, and it was really like it was buoyed by Washington State winning on the road at Wisconsin. That's actually huge.
You gave it a C plus? I gave it a C plus. Why did you expect Mississippi State to beat Arizona?
No, or, I mean yes, I expected that to happen. Yes.
Did you expect Air Force to beat Colorado?
I did expect Air Force. I didn't expect it to be a blowout.
Okay, but I did. But and did you expect Arizona State to beat Oklahoma State?
No.
Okay, so that was a great weekend.
That's not a great weekend. You have to grade based on what happened, not based on what your expectations are. You don't grade on a curve. It's based on the overall performance of the conference. And Arizona State lost a game to a highly ranked Big 12 team. Mississippi State is a middle of the pack SEC school, and they had a 3-touchdown win over Arizona. You can't be giving out B's and A's. When Cal had to stop UNLV on the final drive to stop from losing at home.
A win's a win, baby. A win is a win.
Without that Jack Coletto touchdown, this week to me.
Oh yeah. That's a bad C-.
It's a C- held up only by the Washington State win. So like that pushed it up to a C+. And then the other thing is when you have two conference teams that play each other, and one gets a bunch of massive flaws exposed, you have to factor that in as well. So USC looked really good on offense, but they did not look to me to be a team that can compete with the biggest and best when it comes to the way that they play defense. So that a growing concern there. Right. So it's good that they didn't lose to Eastern Washington or Alabama State or UNLV or anything like that. But it also like B implies good week. This was above average.
Okay. So, all right. So this upcoming week, week 3, I will go in chronological order to make this easier. Because we have struggled with alphabetical order and chronological order on this podcast, apparently. All right.
True.
South Alabama at UCLA. What's the line on this game? Oh, and we have no Friday games again, which is, thank goodness, and Thursday.
Fantastic. Games. So UCLA is favored by 15.5 in this game. South Alabama comes in at 2-0. They beat Central Michigan, and they beat Nichols. So the Central Michigan one, you know, Central Michigan actually gave Oklahoma State a good game, and I think it was the same margin of victory Oklahoma State had. So I don't know what makes them think that South Alabama is going to be able to come into UCLA and keep it close, but that is what the point spread indicates.
Give me the Bruins.
Was that an 8? That's an 8 clap?
Yeah.
That sounds like more than 8 claps. Is that enough? enough claps to cover the spread.
Yes. Yes. Give me UCLA.
Okay. So South Alabama has a quarterback. His name's Carter Bradley. He does a pretty good job of taking care of the ball. He's got 600 yards passing, 6 touchdowns on the season, has only been sacked 3 times. If he goes off, then maybe this will be closer than anticipated. But I think with the 2 warm-up games and everything's kind of moving on all cylinders, I will also go with UCLA to cover the 15.5.
All right. Cal at Notre Dame. Give me what is the line on this game before I even get into who I got, fam?
Gosh. So I want you to guess the over-under before I give you the line.
Oh, this is a dirt cheap over-under. I'm going to go with, for college, what would be low? 42 would be low.
You were off by 1.5. 40.5.
What?
Yeah. So Notre Dame.
Oh, that's miserable.
Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored by 10.5 points.
Okay. Cal only scored 34 points against UC Davis. So, and then 20 points against UNLV. So that's reasonable. And Notre Dame only scored 10 versus Ohio State and 21 versus Marshall. Lord have mercy. Are we in for like a 17-19 game, 17-16 game like we saw on Monday Night Football?
17-16 is a Cal cover. They're basically, what they're saying is this is a 25. If you want Notre Dame to win and the under to hit, it's like 25-14. Is what you're looking at. So
what? Bro, that's,
yeah. Do you think Cal scores twice? Do you think there are 4 total touchdowns in this game?
Okay, so Notre Dame has a new quarterback. So
interesting note about, will you be tuning into this game to hear the brand new pairing on NBC of Jack Collinsworth and Jason Garrett?
Jack Collins, is he related to Chris Collinsworth?
It's his son.
Of course.
It's his son.
Nepotism knows no bounds.
Hey, I'm just trying to get to my family to the point where we can have some nepotism.
Me too, buddy. Okay, so Tyler Buchner is out for Notre Dame. I think they said he's out for 4 months. And Drew Pine is in. So, yeah.
It's in South Bend.
All right. And the line is what?
10.5 for Notre Dame.
I'm going to go with Notre Dame. I refuse to believe that they will lose 3 games in a row.
I am going to, I'm not saying that Cal's going to win, but Jack Plummer played quarterback in the Big Ten. This isn't going to be some scary new environment for him. I think Cal has some composure, and maybe it's a 24-17 Notre Dame win, but I'm going to take Cal to cover the 10.5. Mm.
Mm. Nope. Actually, nah, I'm sticking.
I was going to say, you're going to end up using this to say you were right either way.
Yeah, I am going to
stick with your gut.
I don't like it, though. It's not sitting well. But anyways, ooh, this is an interesting matchup. Colorado at Minnesota. The offensive coordinator who got fired last year from Minnesota travels back up to Minnesota, but this time with Colorado. What happens there, Ralph?
Not much.
And what is the line?
Well, so here's the deal. No matter what the line is, Minnesota is going to try to triple it. But it's currently sitting at Minnesota minus 27.5.
27.5?
Yes.
Bro, ain't no way. Ain't no way in hell. No way. No way. Give me
Air Force covered that last week with a 31-point win. And you know PJ Fleck is pissed off. He does not like his former offensive coordinator. And so it's definitely going to be – there'll be familiarity. with his former OC being
okay, so
at Colorado. But.
Minnesota beat New Mexico State 38-0 and then Western Illinois 62-10. Bro, 28 points is a lot, bro. Give me Colorado.
All right. I'm not making the same mistake 2 weeks in a row. I'll take Minnesota.
Now I'm getting ready to make the mistake that you made. F that. Give me Minnesota too.
Oh, even you say it out loud. Forget the amount of points you have to say out loud. I'm betting on Colorado.
Yeah.
tough thing to get out of your mouth.
Exactly. All right. BYU at Notre Dame. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Wait, no, did I just like,
BYU at Oregon.
We're sending two schools they got up a against split Notre squad. Dame.
All right. This is, BYU in Eugene at Oregon at the house Reister built.
Hey, you forgot to say at 2021 Pac-12 champion BYU. Because didn't they go 5-0 or something like that against the Pac-12?
No, they went 4-1 last year against the Pac-12.
Okay.
But it's fine.
This is a Oregon's actually favored in this game.
Yes. Oregon's why? What do you think this is, man? What do you think this is? Give me the Ducks. I would take the Ducks at 10. Ass whooping time, bro. Them boys mad.
They just finished beating top 10 Baylor in double overtime 26-20. Jaren Hall is a really, really fun quarterback to watch. This is going to be an interesting matchup. I don't think BYU is in any way intimidated. I don't think they're the best team in the world. And they'll be getting, I believe they'll be getting their two best receivers back, Puka Nacua and Gunnar Romney.
Only one of them is back. They believe that Puka will be back, apparently. But
no Gunner.
Yes.
Man, I want to say, I want to go with my heart here and I want to say Oregon, but I'm very excited for this game. This is the game of the week to me in the conference, just because it's BYU's had so much success in the Pac-12. They're going to be moving to the Big 12. This is going to be an interesting game. I'm going to ride with Oregon, though. I say it's a one touchdown, maybe like a 34-27 Oregon win.
Now I am going to go with 31-21 Oregon win. So yeah, give me the Ducks. Easy work. All right. Next game. Colorado State at Washington State.
This is a fascinating matchup.
Colorado yes,
State,
it is.
Washington State. Washington State's favored by 17. I believe Colorado State is the Jim Norvell and the air raid, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, this is gonna be interesting because they got a lot of transfer players in. I think they'll be ready to go. This was the one place where you figured, like, yeah, that'd be a really good place for Cam Ward to go if he didn't have his head coach come over and be Washington State's offensive coordinator, you know, going to play in the air raid for Norvell probably would have been the best choice. But I think they've actually brought their quarterback over from Nevada. This is Washington State minus 17. Give me the Rams all day. I think this is going to be a really close game. I really do. I'm not saying Colorado State's going to win, but I think this is going to be a very good matchup.
We are in lockstep, my friend. We are in absolute lockstep on this. Give me Colorado State. I think that they make this game tough on Washington State. I think that this is going to be one of the more intriguing matchups. It's 61 degrees in Pullman. Weather won't be a factor. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they've gotten jack stomped in their first two matchups. Colorado
jack
State
stomped.
Has.
I love it.
Oh, big time. Middle Tennessee State was one of the teams that did it to them. But I think by game three, they'll have it figured out a little bit. And Washington State to me is not the type of like, they haven't shown to me yet that they're the type
that they can stretch it out on you good.
Yeah. So 17 points, I mean, maybe 14 to me, but I think Washington State wins, but I do like Colorado State to cover the spread.
Me too.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
All right, next game up. The biggest game of the whole weekend, really, which is Michigan State at Washington. You have Mel Tucker coming back to the Pac-12, playing against UW. UW gets their first test with Michael Penix Jr. as their quarterback and Kalen DeBoer as their coach, because they have only played Kent State and Portland State, which they demolished both teams. What does the line say, and where are you at?
Believe it or not, Washington is a 3.5-point favorite over number 11 Michigan State. Kind of a shock to me.
Yeah.
Even odds would have made more sense, but to say that on a neutral field that Washington would be the favorite is crazy. And then to make it, 3.5 points for this being in Seattle, it's going to be a fun environment. It's going to be a purple out. I don't see that mattering to Michigan State. They play in hostile environments all the time. The thing I'm looking forward to, though, is this is the return of Jarek Broussard to the Pac-12. He is the number two running back out there at Michigan State, but they give him the rock a lot, 15 carries last week and two touchdowns. And so really, really interested to see how Broussard looks. Big fan of his, rooting for him to have a lot of success. But this Washington offense has looked awesome. My gut instinct was just bewilderment that Washington was a favorite. So I'm going to roll with Michigan State here and the points. But I'm just hoping for a really, really good game. It's got a nice time slot. I think a lot of people will tune in. You get to see RG3 on the broadcast. Hopefully the weather's nice, and I think that it can be very, very intriguing. The Pac-12 needs one of these big matchups. They got to either get Notre Dame at Notre Dame, they got to beat BYU, or they got to knock off Michigan State. Can't go 0-3 in those games.
No, No, no. Because if you go 0 for 3 in those games, that's a disaster. All right. You're going with Washington?
I am not. I'm going with Michigan State.
I'm going with Michigan State plus 3.5, too.
Being a hater or on logic?
No, no, on logic. Like, I'll believe Washington is where they need to be as soon as I see it. Like, I do think that there's a possibility, that a very real possibility, that they win this game. They just haven't played anybody yet for me to fully believe. Now, next game up, Montana State at Oregon State. Where do you live
there's
on
no
that
line
one, buddy?
For this. There's no line for this, so I said that we should give Oregon State 17.5. Do you feel okay?
Oh, I think it should be more, probably 24.
Do you want to set it at 24?
Yeah, that seems reasonable. Okay. Because there's a reason why there's not a line on this game.
Yeah. So we're talking about a top five FCS team that I believe went to the championship last year.
Okay.
And North Dakota State. 24 points. I'll take it. I'll take Oregon State and the points. I am 0-2 in Oregon State games so far this year, so I look forward to going 0-3. But the other two times was me betting against them in both the Fresno State game and Boise State. And not just against them but to lose. I thought they were going to lose both those games. So I'm going to ride with the Beavs for the first time this year.
All right. I am going to go with the Beavers as well. I think that they are a good football team. I think that they are continuing to get better, that they're going to win this game, and they're going to – do something really good that, yeah, I like it. I like it. So, yeah, give me the Beavers. All right, next game up. San Diego State at Utah. What is the line on this game, and is Braxton Burmeister still the quarterback?
I believe that he is. This is Utah minus 21.
Give me Utah.
It's revenge game time. Give me Utah. It's in Salt Lake City. Let's see. San Diego State, actually, they played Idaho State, probably one of the worst teams in all of FCS. They won 38-7 last week. And your boy, Braxton Burmeister, went 15 of 26 for 108 yards against an FCS team.
Yeah.
Listen. So, yeah, no, this is going to be Southern Utah part two. Utah is pissed off. After losing to Florida, they had to hang out in the airport for like 36 hours, and they took that out on Southern Utah. And San Diego State obviously has shown that they're vulnerable. They got beat pretty bad by Arizona. Now they have to go to Salt Lake City. I don't think this looks very good for them. And again, I can't bet on Braxton Burmeister, so I'll roll with you, Utah minus 21.
Yep, I am 100%.
And it's a Rod Gilmore game, so hopefully.
So there will be some controversy too. All right. We have Fresno State at USC. Intriguing matchup. Very intriguing. Jeff Tedford back trying to harass USC with Lincoln Riley. Where are you at?
Well, Fresno is not getting as much respect as you would think. To me, this should not be a closer line than what USC had against Stanford, or it should not be a bigger line than what USC had against Stanford, which ended up being at 9.5. This is 12.5.
Yeah.
In favor of USC, the over under 73.5. That's wild. I'm not saying Fresno State's going to win the game. But again, like, we have seen enough of one particular quarterback. This is going to be the game where he screws up?
No, it's not, because that doesn't happen.
Do you think they have the ability to get to him? Do you think they have the ability to make him uncomfortable? Well, he doesn't really get uncomfortable.
No. Fresno State is going to score points. It's just a matter of if their defense can hold up enough to give them a fighting chance to win.
Yeah, this is a late game. This is this game's going to be on at 10:30 my time, but I guarantee you I'll be up for it because the other two games that are playing concurrently with this one are definitely not as exciting. And again, this is the last time that we'll have to deal with Jake Haener unless somebody matches up in a bowl game or something like that. So Jake Haener's Pac-12 curtain call. I will take Fresno State to cover the 12.5.
All right. Eastern Michigan at Arizona State.
This should be a bloodbath.
Yes.
It should be. Eastern Michigan's not terrible, but they're also, you know, they got to go to Tempe. They got to play late at night. This is going to be like midnight kickoff their time. I don't think, Arizona State's favored by 20.5. And it'd be really difficult for me to, outside of Herm Edwards, like interfering.
Okay, so who to make it like a, so you're taking Arizona State?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be 24-point win.
Mm-mm. Not me, buddy. I am going with Eastern Washington, even though
why?
Because I think that they're gonna cover. I believe that Michigan, that Arizona State is gonna win the game like pretty easily. But that the Herm is going to muck up the spread.
All right. Well, they did. They just took a 35-point loss at Louisiana, Billy Napier's old team. So yep. Billy Napier's other old team, I think, is going to do the exact same thing to them.
All right. Last thing up, you have last game up. You have North Dakota State, who is 2-0. At Arizona, they beat the hell out of Drake and North Carolina A&T. Like, they've given up 17 points in two games and have scored basically 100 points. They've scored 99 points and have given up 17. Yeah. What's
Your
the
boy
line
Petros
on this game?
Is on this podcast. I'm excited for him to see some North Dakota State football. There is no line. There's no line. So you and I talked beforehand, and I said, what about North Dakota State -9.5? And you said you didn't think that was enough to give an FCS team 9.5 points over a Pac-12 team.
Actually,
where would you put it?
I actually think that nine and a half feels a good – I mean, it should probably be like 12.5, but 9.5 feels very, very good.
Is the better team?
Arizona is more talented, but North Dakota State.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Do you really believe that?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Do you think that Arizona is a top 100 team in the FBS?
Yes. Yes, they are a top 100 team, bro. Are you nuts?
Okay, if you drop North Dakota State into the FBS, where do you think they are? Do you think they're a top 75 team? Because I do.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know, man.
All right.
I don't know. Listen, North Dakota State's digging dudes. Like they're listen, recruiting at like an Iowa State level.
listen, I'm going with North Dakota State +9.5. But I think Arizona wins.
-9.5. You can't do both. I'm saying North Dakota State minus. I'm saying North Dakota State should be favored by.
Are you nuts?
That's what I've been talking about this entire
time. Oh, hell no. Give me Arizona. You better get the hell out of here, bro. Get the hell out of here. We're going to end the podcast on that note because you have lost your damn mind.
You shouldn't even be favored?
No.
You thought that I was talking about Arizona -9.5 this time?
Yes. Yes.
No way in hell.
You've lost your damn mind. You've lost your mind, and that's where we're going to end the podcast today. Because you
okay? What I'm taking North Dakota State -9.5. My imaginary line that I set that you didn't even think was.
Yep.
For the team that it was for. Yep. You are out of your mind if you think that Arizona should be favored by 10 points over North Dakota State.
Cool. I can't wait. Let's make a personal bet. All right. I'm George.
I really look forward to getting a phone call at 2:45 in the morning on Sunday.
All right. I'm George Reister.
Tell my wife, sorry, I can't make it to church in the morning. George kept me up till 4.
I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amson. This is Pac-12 Apostles. Peace out.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.